This program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
November 9th, 1989. History is made. The Berlin Wall falls. Years pass. Decades end. A new century is born. In 2021, one wall remains at Revolution Radio. The wall between Studio A, the Wisdom Circle, and Studio B, the Raw Deal. The wall falls. History is made. Wisdom Circle plus Raw Deal equals the event. James Fetzer, David Scorpio, Giuseppe Baffanculo, Brutal Honesty, Chris Winert. History is made. And now, the event.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Raw Deal, joining with the Wisdom Circle, David Scorpio and Giuseppe Vaffanculo. Chris Winert cannot be with us today. He's on the road, but I'm very delighted to introduce our featured guest today. He's a dear personal friend, colleague of long standing, perhaps the man I most admire on the face of Earth. He's shown immense integrity, scholarly expertise, tremendous resourcefulness. He's a leading expert on the London 7-7 subway bombing, where his book, Terror on the Tube, is now in its fifth, sixth, seventh. Nick will have to bring us up to date on which edition. He's been an iconoclast of longstanding. He's published what may be the definitive scientific treatment of the narrative of the camps at the end of World War II. We all know about. Nick has shattered the myth in his brilliant book, Breaking the Spell, for which I was honored to write the introduction. He has a new book about the coronavirus pandemic. It's just a sensational opportunity to have him here. Nick Kullerstrom, welcome to the event.
Well, it's a pleasure to be back here again, Jim. I don't know if I can live up to a plug like that.
I don't have a lot of doubt about it. I'm going to turn this over to the David Scorpio and Giuseppe Vaffanculo for an initial series of questions. Scorpio, your take.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. It's the first time we've talked, and you know, your books really are quite amazing. You know, I was wondering, have you had any blowback, you know, from where, you know, where you live, given the rather, you know, volatile subject matter you've been writing about? I was just curious about how things are in England, and if you've had any personal repercussions.
Well, years ago I did. Sorry, what were you, Scorpio?
Yeah, Scorpio, yes.
I'll call you Scorpio.
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Scorpio, yeah. Well, years ago I got heavily damned and vilified, but I didn't fade away, you know. And I do get damned now and then in the newspapers, ethically damned. But, I mean, nobody's throwing stones at me or anything. I think one has to learn to live without fear, you know. You do what you believe in and go ahead and do it, for God's sake. Don't let anyone intimidate you. If you can, to achieve in these very difficult times, form a group of kindred spirits. That's what we do. We've got a group, 9/11 Keep Talking, that meet once a month. And in these times, lockdown times, we've been doing it on Zoom. And so that just helps you to keep your sanity, you know, just by meeting people on the same wavelength and have a shared Google group that you can chat with. I would recommend that, especially in these COVID times when you can easily have a complete division within your own family, you know, which is deeply shattering, and how you cope with it. So That's what I say. I mean, I've had a few books banned by Amazon, you know. But on the other hand, it does take my other books because they sell. They like having books that sell. And there is life after being banned by Amazon. Like this coronavirus hoax book, A Skeptic's Guide, Amazon did eventually ban that. It's just the algorithm, you know, hoax, coronavirus, they will ban it. But you can still get it. Just put in the name on the internet and you'll find places that are on Google and you'll find places that sell it. So there is life after being banned by Amazon. So I think it's important that we don't despair, you know.
Scorpio, just for historical background, when Nick Verse began publishing about the labor camps in Germany and exposed that Zyklon B was being used for delousing to kill body lice because they were spreading typhus and dysentery throughout the camps and you can't get any work out of a corpse, he was booted from his post at University College London, which he'd held for some 17 years as a form of punishment. I would also mention one of the Yes, there's his brilliant book, Breaking the Spell. I would also mention that when the then prime minister was announcing to the public that they were going to be very upset with anyone who contested the official narratives of 9/11 or the 7/7 subway bombing, Nick promptly took himself down to Scotland Yard to turn himself in with a copy of his book, Terror on the Tube, because he knew it was in violation of the PM's order, but Scotland Yard declined to arrest him.
Wow. Well, and I just want to commend Nick, too, for your attitude. I'm saying sometimes it's time to lose the fear, as these people are going for it all. And great attitude, Nick. I really appreciate it.
Nick, you wanted to add?
This book was banned, obviously it's banned by Amazon. Eventually they banned it. But it's still selling quite a bit. It's a bit harder to find where to buy it from, you know. You have to hunt around a bit. I think it's the best-selling revisionist book. So as revisionist books go, it is selling very well. It's been upgraded and it's been checked by various experts. So I'm worried. That was produced under enormous stress. When everyone told me my life was over, it was all over now, you know. You'd be chucked out of your college and you just got to be live in the shadows the rest of your life. So I then produced that book and that did turn things around a bit, you know.
One of the benefits of Nick's research was that he had access to the British death books where the British had cracked the German code and were able to keep copies of all their meticulous records about the inmates in the camps, their age at death, their race, their gender, their ethnicity, so that he was able to secure confirmation for what had heretofore stood as the International Committee of Red Cross official recording, where they recalibrated in 1993 and determined that the total number of inmates who had died from all causes combined was 296,081, none of whom died from being put to death in gas chambers. Where Nick explained, you know, they did use Zyklon B, but the number who died was overwhelmingly smaller, a minuscule percentage, and none of them died from being put in gas chambers. And of course, historically, there's a tremendous amount of substantiating evidence. But the great advantage Nick had was access to the UK death books. Nick.
Yeah, well, that was amazing. We've got the National Archives, right? All the wartime records in the West London. And they've just been declassified after 50 years of being top secret. So there they were lying there. And no historian would touch them because they didn't show any Holocaust, you know. These were the British intelligence eavesdropping on the German labor camps, right, for 13 months, getting all the radio messages, decrypting them. The Germans didn't realize we could decrypt the messages. So that is the most authentic possible information about the German labor camps, what was happening around 1942. They just show a concern that the various different ethnic groups be treated properly and be put to good use and get the best work out of them. moved around between camps. Then they show the catastrophic process when typhus broke out in 1942 and how they had to institute this cleaning hygiene program with Zyklon for delousing clothing and mattresses. It shows them attempting to cope with this whole catastrophe. So I published those. I don't understand why it's a scoop. I don't know why no one else did that. But I published that together with the other thing I'm fascinated by, which is measurement of chemical residue of cyanide in the walls of the labor camps. That gives you a best memory of where cyanide was used, you see, because it's still there 60 years later as the permanent cyanide, iron cyanide. That shows the buildings where the Zyklon was actually used.
And there you were collaborating with Germar Rudolph, who has a background in chemistry, who did actual measurements of the walls and the blue staining in the areas that were used for delousing, but in none of the alleged gas chambers, which, of course, we know from the Richter report of the trial of Ernst Zundel, were not remotely feasible to be actually used for the purpose of gas chambers, but where, of course, we know it's a necessity for the Israelis, for the Zionists to conceal the facts of the matter, because Israel's political clout derives from a Western sense of guilt over the Holocaust, and therefore they cannot possibly allow it to be exposed as a sham, as a myth, as a fraud. Giuseppe.
Oh,
yeah, Giuseppe.
Scorpio, would you like to comment on this? What would you say?
Scorpio departed momentarily. This is Giuseppe, though.
Go ahead, Giuseppe. Pick it up.
All right, you got it. Mike, it's great to be on a show with you, Dr. Kallestrom. I'm a big fan of your books. I'm looking right now at the, you can't see this video, but I'm holding up both the Great British Corona Hoax and Breaking the Spell. I proudly own them both, read them both. And you do a fantastic... Sorry, sir, go ahead.
That's great news, yeah.
No, I was just saying fantastic, Giuseppe. Yeah.
And my question initially for you, Nick, is to what do you see as the similarities between the great lies of the Hollow Hoax and the great lies of the Great British and Worldwide Corona Hoax?
Oh, that's a heavy number. Generally, British politicians don't seem committed to finding out what is true. That there seems to be an ethos that great magnificent lies can move the people much more easily and more deeply than trying to be honest with people. And that fear, the great thing they have in common is fear, isn't it?
Yes.
We've been absolutely blasted with fear over the last year of a phantomic virus that isn't really increasing the death rate. It's fear we're getting. The retrospectively constructed narrative at Nuremberg was to create a sort of image of some ghastly monster, the wicked, evil Nazis, and that could be used to manipulate people ever since, you know. The whole century after Nuremberg, they could always invoke this dreadful image of wickedness, which is a phantomic image. There weren't those wicked Nazis, in order to justify, not only justify the Second World War, but to invoke whenever they needed it, whenever something that looking a bit right-wing was there, or a bit too nationalistic, but too strong nationalism, that they could use that to invoke. To scare people. So perhaps the idea of the great illusion, what in the Star Wars film is called the Phantom Menace, that is terrifically important for any peace activists to understand the way the politicians conjure up and use the Phantom Menace, I would say, yeah.
There's, of course, more and more evidence every single day that the coronavirus is a phantom itself as well, that there's no increase. We have a report from the insurance industry. Ben Swan did a brilliant job of bringing on an expert that the insurance industry has made no adjustment in its rates for any kind of insurance as a consequence of the coronavirus. We have a new report, too, now just out today, that the vaccinations aren't making a difference, that the rate of infection is the same with or without the vaccination. And of course, and of course, we're getting a huge amount of evidence about the damage the vaccinations do. Further substantiation, for example, the point made by Judy Mekovits last week when she was on this very show with us.
That
one of the potential effects of the shots is the development of prions, the production of prions, which bring about mad cow disease, or in this case, mad man disease, that is going to eat holes in our brains. Nick, I can't think of a better reason to avoid the shot than that, not to mention sterility and sterility, death. Giuseppe, go ahead.
Sorry.
Nick, go ahead.
Well, I think it's a whole zombie apocalypse we've got coming, possibly later this year. The thing is that this mRNA jab we've been given, which isn't really a vaccine at all, it will duplicate inside the human organism. That's the uncanny thing. The mRNA has the ability to duplicate itself in the cellular metabolism. So that is happening now to people who've got it, and there may be a result in 6 months or a year's time when it can suddenly have an effect and kill people. And it's been compared to something where there's an on button but no off switch when you take this jab. You're taking a gamble to interfere in your own cell metabolism and reproductive organ, reproductive ability, which is untested. It's just so incredible. People want to take this thing that, which hasn't been tested. So there may be some zombie apocalypse coming up when just the things that Jim said will be happening. People will discover that they're sterile, all sorts of nightmares will then begin to develop. And the people who haven't taken the vaccine will be the people of the future. Because they will, A, be still alive, and B, be able to reproduce.
Right, and that's going to include a lot of migrants they're bringing into the United States, and it seems to me they're purposely letting them come in without any testing. I bet they're not going to be subjected to they multiply. You know, they're very fertile and reproductive. We found this in Europe, too, of course, from the African migrants, that they're very reproductive. So this is the massive displacement of whites by means of blacks who are coming in for where the Israelis appear to have been the masterminds behind it, with a Calergy plan now being adapted to the United States. Scorpio, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, this is great. I want to bring in another Star Wars reference here. We need to make a clone army of Nick, because he's a man of great courage and a man of great intellect, too. I really like your attitude, Nick. And I guess my question is what do you think the end game of this agenda they're currently doing with this whole, you know, coronavirus scamdemic and this new system that they want to bring about? What do you think the end game is? And do you think this nefarious plan is going to work? I was curious what your thoughts are on people's reaction there in England, and if people are getting angry and trying to resist it.
Yeah, well, Scorpio, I'm a science historian, and I like kind of factual details. I generally like seeking out exact details of what happens rather than making huge general predictions, you know. So I've done an update of this book, second edition, bringing out what happened last year and what might happen. But when I was doing it, it's so strange that these vast apocalyptic possibilities that are looming, which seem like science fiction. It seems so much like science fiction, you know, that will there be nanodust, nanoparticles in these injections, this sort of thing? Or the ID 2020, is this linked with a cashless society, you know? So what is happening? It's not just a mock phantom disease with a vaccine. It's a whole plan for global control of human beings that's just kind of materializing before our eyes, and we just don't yet know to what extent it's going to happen, see? I mean, the British have a long tradition of being independent. And if they say, no, I'm not going to take the vaccine, generally speaking, I'll be surprised if politicians can make them. We're giving every sort of encouragement, but there's strong opposition here to the idea of making a vaccine passport, you know, or compulsory for travel or going to pubs. There's strong opposition to that. So we've just got to wait and see what happens. As regards what the overall plan is, I would say that there are possibilities here that are just taking shape. I mean, there's a whole lot of people suddenly talking about nuclear war in Europe or as if we're going towards a war situation. So very extreme options seem to be gathering here. I think to answer your question, we should wait a few months and see whether these very dire possibilities really do kick in. If some large proportion do actually start dying off, which I personally suspect may happen, but you know, we can't be sure. So that's about all I can say.
Giuseppe, wouldn't you agree that the reason they're rushing the cadence, they want everyone to get the shots right away, which is the impounding message from the Biden administration, before people start dropping dead or going mad around them and they see the effects?
Oh, absolutely. And plus, keep in mind that both Dr. Judy Mikovits and Dr. Kerry Medej on my show, The Perfect Triangle, both said that they believe as much as 50% of this initial rollout of the shot is a placebo, which will have very little effect on the recipient. And I would like to get Nick's thoughts and Jim, your thoughts. Yesterday, Matt Agorist, an independent muckraking journalist, wrote a story that's been on multiple sites, alternative news sites, and the headline reads, "Conspiracy Theory Comes True as Pentagon Creates Implantable Microchip to Detect COVID," which has always been the goal of the internationalist Jew banking cabal, to be able to chip their 7.3 billion herd of Goyim cattle. What do you think of the Pentagon and DARPA jumping in now?
Well, we're given a whole lot of nightmare possibilities to make us live in fear. And I'd say, bear in mind, this hasn't yet happened, and we can and must say no. That's the important thing, at the moment, Israel has taken more than any other country the vaccines, at least more than 60%. Second is Britain, UK, about 50% of this country has been vaccinated. And third is America. You've had about 40% of the population being vaccinated, roughly, if you agree with that. So these are the top countries that have managed to persuade their population to take the jab. As Jim said, they're ramping up the fear to try and persuade people to take the jab before these negative effects start appearing. And when they do, they're going to say it's some new variant of COVID that's doing it. That's, you know, you can see that coming. I mean, the data we really need is a division of records of people who have taken it versus who haven't, and all deaths recorded. That's what we'd like to see. All deaths. That's the simplest thing we'd like to see. All deaths recorded, dividing people who've taken the jab and those who haven't. I mean, if we could have that data, which obviously we're not allowed to, that would be the simplest way of answering this.
Of course, the problems with J&J causing this pause has led, you know, Tony the Rat Fauci to say he thinks it's only going to be temporary, you know, it's just a minor glitch. But since the adverse reporting system only gets about 1% of the actual total, when you start adding it up, they have thousands of deaths already recorded. And if you multiply that by 100, that's hundreds of thousands of deaths, and I think the public is going to start to get the message that maybe this isn't such a great idea after all. Giuseppe.
Yeah, as well as the deaths, there's also, in this country, a terrific increase in stillborn children from women who are foolish enough to take the vaccine while they're pregnant. So that is a huge increase. That's perhaps the most dramatic figure a huge increase in stillborn children. That's the sort of thing that may get a lot worse, you know.
Giuseppe.
Nick, are you and Jim aware that in the United States, the VARS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, recently a Harvard University audit of that system revealed that barely 1% of all actual adverse reactions, such as death, maiming, sickness that keeps you out of work, noteworthy injuries, less than 1% are actually reported because the public find it too complex and the medical personnel are afraid of reporting. They fear retribution as far as losing their jobs. And even as such, in the United States, there's well over 2,000 listed deaths in the last 3 months, which is about a 7,000% increase over the last 10 years reporting. And the funny thing is I know Europe's doing a little better job being a little more honest with their numbers, but the idea being that in reality, the 2,000 some deaths are really should be multiplied by 100 in the last 3 months, because all these people are dying and they're saying, oh no, they had a comorbidity, which is an absolute ridiculous statement. The genetic modifying injection is killing the recipient. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I'd heard a figure of 1/10. I'm a bit surprised you say 100-fold, that only about 1/10 of the adverse reactions to the vaccine are reported. And let's be clear that America especially, that a tradition of doctors not wanting to hear about these adverse events, that there's no normal procedure for parents reporting if something terribly wrong happens after a vaccine. I mean, I believe that you in America get more, kids get more vaccinated. I think you have about 70 vaccines in childhood, don't you? Than any other country.
It's absolutely malevolent, and there's nearly 250 slated to be released in the coming decade. So when you have a baby, if you even can have a baby with all the stillborn and the sterility issues, you're going to have a child in, say, 2028 who is going to be getting, as a newborn, about 80 injections their first year of birth. That is so criminal. That is so heinous. It literally sickens me to think of it.
Can I ask you what would happen if parents tried to say no? Supposing parents said, sorry, we don't want to take these vaccines. What would happen to them?
Well, I can tell you our good friend and who's not on the show today, Chris Weinert, who has his show on Saturdays, Brutal Honesty, 6 p.m., Eastern Time, Studio B. He just had a baby, a beautiful little girl named Valentina, and he and his wife stayed awake constantly in the hospital a year ago to prevent any of these ghouls from injecting their beautiful little baby. So you essentially choose to become an outcast of society in America.
How much outcast? Scorpio, is that right?
This is Giuseppe, but Scorpio's also.
Giuseppe. I mean, how much does that mean? You can't send the kid to a school, or you don't get any bonus or relief for having a child financially. Just give us a bit of detail about what you mean being an outcast.
Well, the only relief you get in the United States, the great corporate slave state, is on your taxes, and that they don't differentiate. You get a child credit on your taxes, which is several thousand dollars. You get no money unless you're low income, at which point you do have to, if you're on the tit of the state, you do have to be vaccinated. If you want your child to go to indoctrination centers, i.e. Public schools, you do have to have them vaccinated. And it's insane the level of ignorance and selfishness in the normie parents who are like, oh, I gotta get my kids into school. It's too much effort. It's too much work for me to homeschool them. And I still have to do my job. And I still have to have my time to play video games and take selfies. So, it's a major hassle.
In this country, I believe it is not compulsory. I believe you can still send your kid to school if it's not vaccinated. I may be wrong. I'd heard it was just one or two states like California where you could not get schooling without the vaccination. But you're saying it's basically throughout the USA that you can't get send your kids to school without the vaccines.
Yep, they're all changing their laws now. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's terrible.
I mean, so, it may be in Florida. They're going pretty contrarian to this whole deal, and perhaps in Texas. But what's interesting is even when these governors make these bold pronouncements, they're still at the local level, the school board level, they do implement these draconian measures.
Well, you know, the whole idea of the vaccine passport is supposed to be the absolute control of the government over each individual life, where they won't be allowed to do anything over which the government can exert control unless they conform to the vaccine schedule. So I think there's really little doubt that that's the solution they want. They created an imaginary pandemic for which we find there's really no substantial empirical evidence at all. They have reclassified. Last year, Nick, there were 38 million cases of the flu. This year, there are less than 2,000. So do we think the flu just mysteriously disappeared? No, they're counting those 38 million this year as cases of COVID in order to stoke the fear porn associated with this medical fascism, which has...
Yeah, well, that happened in this country as well. Exactly the same. Flu disappeared. And I think in most countries, Australia, whole of the countries, flu mysteriously disappeared. So this shows you not just that COVID is kind of, flu has been reclassified as COVID. It also shows you some amazing, hardly hard to believe, a global control that they could do that all around the world, isn't it? I mean, it used to be just conspiracy theorists who said, oh, it's some global control, you know. But it shows you, you can see, if all around the world, flu is being reclassified as COVID, you know.
Scorpio?
Yeah, well, guys, it's a miracle. The flu has been cured this year. It's wonderful. When you go out and about in town and just, you know, interact with, you know, so-called normies and just people on the street, what do you think the percentages of people that are starting to figure out that this is just an enormous hoax and a means to an end to get a new system of medical tyranny indoctrinated into people's minds? Do you feel that there's a shift in people starting to see something is really wrong with the narrative they're being fed? Or what's sort of the basic vibe you feel when you go out and talk with people on the street?
Oh, gotcha. I would say, first of all, don't take the doctor's pills and don't take pills developed with animal experiments. If you have some naturopathic or herbal doctor, if you're lucky to find one, they're hard to find, and they may be persecuted, but you're lucky if you can find one. Just substrate affirm that it's not the business of the state to keep us healthy, right? We've never asked the opinion of the state or the advice or guidance about how to stay healthy. That's our business. It is not the state's business. So, I mean, they may have opinions about some dreadful disease coming along, but it's as Jim says, it's fear porn. They need your fear. That's the thing. We always need to bear in mind the politicians in place at the moment have no idea at all how to improve your life or how to make you happy or your welfare. It probably doesn't even interest them. They know that they can't say anything about that, but they can grab your attention with fear. So they misuse government and misuse the media by promoting this fear. It's up to us to live together and find people of the like mind and same wavelength, join together with people of the same wavelength, say for having children or whatever, forming a group, maybe homeschooling. I would say homeschooling, you can do it, is a very good alternative that instead of what the kid may be exposed to at school.
May I add that the combination of having a vaccine for a phantom virus, where among the effects of the vaccine are sterility, is going to dramatically reduce the reproduction rate in the population targeted with a vaccine, while at the same time bringing in masses of migrants who are reproducing at a far faster rate, combined with a reduction in the rate of the original population, you're going to get demographic changes in a relatively short period of time. And it's all by an artificial means of selection, by deliberately allowing this new group to come into the country and reproduce massively, and by even giving them lots of free stuff. I mean, it's just insane that the American taxpayers are expected to finance illegal immigrants staying at hotels, even with room service, I would bet, at taxpayer expense. Nick, is that absurd here on the U.S. border with Mexico?
Yeah, I gather Tucker Carlson has recently been sounding off about that, and he's got strongly attacked, but he was talking about this replacement program, which, you know, obviously is happening very, very quickly. It's extraordinary how quickly the world is changing, isn't it?
I'm delighted you cited Tucker, because that's the one program I believe is worth watching on all of television. And Tucker has been just doing a brilliant job on critical race theory, on replacement theory, even on the vaccine and problems associated. He's getting into gear, though I have found him historically to be a tad naive or skitterish about, you know, JFK, 9/11, Sandy Hook. Those are issues he will not address. I sometimes wonder if Tucker still thinks Lee Harvey Oswald shot JFK. You know, it's that bad, Dick.
Well, I think that's a bit unfair, Jim. I mean, he's got a major post on Fox News Channel, and you can't have a major post like that while talking about the kind of thing that we talk about. It's a bit like with Alex Jones when he came out about Sandy Hook, saying nobody was shot there or nobody died there. You can't maintain a major broadcasting platform if you say that kind of stuff. It's just there's a limit of what you can do, isn't there?
Yes, yes. No, I agree with that. It's a prudential matter. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
I think that for a long time, Tucker's real first name was Cucker, because he was always cucking to the international Jew, and I'm glad to see him take on the ADL and the Anti-Defamation League. And Nick, are you aware of the American historical origins of the Anti-Defamation League, when a vile Jew named Leo Frank raped and beat and murdered a young 14-year-old white girl, and then convinced a black guy, one of his employees, he paid him off and convinced him to claim he did the crime, the murder, and everyone knew it was the Jew Frank. And then finally, the corrupt judiciary was going to let Leo Frank off. And then a mob broke into jail, took Frank out, and hung him, which I now call the Leo Frank Protocol, which I believe should be brought back in wide scale in this world to fix it. We need the Leo Frank Protocol applied to Bill Gates, to Anthony Fauci, to Klaus Schwab, to Heinrich Kissinger, and all these traitors to humanity. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, be careful. You'll get Jim's platform wiped off, you know. Be careful what you say. Yeah? I've got a friend, my friend Alison, a singer, Alison Chablos, who Jim might have interviewed, but she does satirical songs about, you know, show business and stuff. Satirical songs about the tribe. And they keep trying to jail her. They're furious at her doing these satire songs. And she did a really good discussion program in America a few years ago, and they thought that was going too far. Anyway, they've announced, there's a funny law in this country that if you send material that is, quote, grossly offensive, that can be a crime. It's a rather mad law, but it applies to people sending.
And who's to evaluate what is or isn't offensive, much less grossly? I mean, anyone can be offended by anything, Nick. So, you know, it's just ridiculously subjective and political.
In this case, it was just a crackpot judge without any jury. He announced that what Addison has done was grossly offensive. Can you believe it? He announced that, a podcast discussion program in America. Yeah, that was grossly offensive. So we're putting you inside. So she's in jail now. And it's just amazing to realize that, say we're in now, that crime no longer is defined objectively as something you've done. Crime is an allegation that you might have offended someone without even needing evidence for it. I'm generally, as you mentioned, I don't want to go into this too much, but it is just, you know, the tribe that can get away with that kind of stuff. I couldn't get away with it.
You know? As Voltaire observed, to know by whom you are ruled, just ask who you are not allowed to criticize. Scorpio, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely the tribe that decides what is offensive and what is allowable to speak about. They really intend on controlling the very parameters of every conversation. And this idea that something is grossly offensive, you know, that's essentially the end of free speech. You could drive a truck through a hole that big. And, of course, it's the very purpose to keep people afraid of speaking their mind and to keep people even interested with one another.
Go ahead, Scorpio, and then Nick will reply. Go ahead.
Well, no, really, they just want to keep people afraid also, not only of speaking their mind, but of even interacting with one another. That's why they have all these goofy lockdowns and social distancing so that we're all afraid of our own shadow and afraid to interact with one another. It's really quite staggering. I'll let Nick go ahead and respond, but I wanted to ask him a question after that.
Yeah, sure, Nick.
Well, yeah, that all seems to be happening. It's very odd the way everyone goes along with it. That's what I find so weird. People wearing masks. I mean, what on earth do they think they're protecting themselves from? Viruses don't travel through the air. Touching people, embracing people. What do they imagine might happen? It's suddenly been given all this imaginary fear, and I find it very baffling that everyone seems to accept it.
Well, sure, but being, you know, drilled into their head with the use of propaganda 24/7. I've never seen the fear factor amped up so high. You know, they got the fear factor turned up to 11 now with basically 24 hours a day that, hey, you're going to get COVID and die. And the only way out is to get the vaccine. It's really quite incredible. And I guess my question, Nick, is your newest book is about the
and you hug thy neighbor philosophy. Give your neighbor a hug, give them a back massage, shake hands, and don't accept all this nonsense. You've got to decide how much you can do if you don't actually want to be put in jail, you know. But generally, you cannot comply quite a lot without being arrested, I would say, at least in this country, yeah.
Yeah, and so, Nick, your newest book is on the COVID hoax. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that, and also maybe tell us if you have anything else that's currently in the works.
All right. Well, I've always got that. The COVID hoax, I would say the thing that I described this group I'm in, discussion group, right? And we have a joint Google account. Everyone puts in stuff that's happening. And that's really, I get sent stuff by Jim, you know, and that's how I put it together. I'm just somebody who likes telling a story. So I put it all together from the different things I was sent and so on. And also, as a science historian, I'm interested in the idea of verification and testing. And it was perfectly obvious that it's not happening here. Witching on about science show this and science show that. And there wasn't any real science showing. The kind of real science that I found was that the incidence of COVID, alleged COVID deaths, whatever you mean by that, the COVID deaths per, say, million of the population, if you compare all different countries in the world, that turned out to be proportional to the intensity and severity of the lockdown. You measure how stringent the lockdown was in different countries, severe lockdown, little lockdown, not much. And that turned out to be proportional to what are called COVID deaths per million. It's sort of supposed to be the other way around, isn't it?
In other words, it's a lockdown that's causally efficacious and promoting death, not the virus.
Yeah. Yeah, unless deaths, the COVID deaths is a rather phantomic concept. It's hard to say what it means, but whatever it does mean, it is very high in countries like America, Britain, France, Italy, Belgium, that have intense, severe lockdowns, and it's far lower in countries like Belgium, Belarus, Nicaragua, and so on, that have weak or little lockdowns. And I think that was the thing that led me to write this book. I felt it was very mysterious that there was a global experiment going on, of people locking down and scared to come out of their house and scared to be in the sunshine and not scared of touching their neighbours. And that the more this happened, I mean, it's pretty obvious, totally obvious to ordinary people, totally obvious that it's fresh air and sunshine and outdoor exercise that keeps us healthy, right? And the more you're indoors and don't go out, the more likely you are to be unhealthy. That's pretty obvious. But that's what the statistics were showing. So I think that was the thing that made me decide, well, maybe I'll try and tell this story and just as what we mean by a hoax. Because it's not just people lying. It's not just people deciding to lie for the sake of money. It's a more complicated thing than that. It's a whole collective. The delusion experience, the delusion process is a big collective thing of people reinforcing each other's inappropriate ideas. People have been fantasizing about, you know, a virus pandemic. All sorts of horror movies have fantasized that as if there could be a huge virus pandemic that wipes out the human race or whatever. Well, I don't think viruses have that power. I don't think that viruses do travel around the world and can do that.
Nick, you know, Prince Philip, now deceased, observed in like 1988 that if he were reincarnated, he'd want to come back as a deadly virus so he could do something to cope with the depopulation of Earth. That was Prince Philip making that assertion. How bizarre is that?
I'm not sure if viruses have that power. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But the point is, in terms of his beliefs, he believed it. He wanted to do that, even have himself come back if he were to be reincarnated. I mean, talk about bizarre in the extreme.
And then he ends up, he takes the Pfizer vaccine, right, the Pfizer, and then 6 weeks later he's in hospital. This is a 99-year-old guy. What the hell does a 99-year-old guy want to take a vaccine for? Anyway, he did. 6 weeks later in the hospital, and then he pops off. So people are asking, can we have a post-mortem, see if he died from the vaccine, you know? Huh. Well, that would be something.
But they're not going to, I'm sure, right, Nick? They won't do it.
No, I'm not sure.
They won't.
I would say that the big pandemics we've had in the past are from bugs, like smallpox or whatever. Bugs can reproduce and maybe last outside the body. You know, that they are things that are alive and can reproduce.
You made a really important observation, Nick, that the virus is not transmissible through air. I mean, all the separation, all the face masks, it's all justified on the basis of a false premise, to wit, that it is transmissible. And, of course, we know the masks are far too small to filter out a virus that's about 0.1 micron when it'll only filter out 0.3 or larger. So, I mean, the whole face mask thing is a manifest, even a medical absurdity.
Yeah, I mean, let's bear in mind that a virus lasts 2 or 3 days. That's how long they last, okay? They're found inside living organisms, or maybe inside a Petri dish. If you put some stuff in a Petri dish and you disturb it, or you add some poison to stress it, then viruses appear. So that's where you see viruses in living things. And the imagination that they can drift through the air and come out from China and whatever, that is a kind of fantasy that I think we need to get away from, you know.
Giuseppe.
Well, I have to disagree with both of you. In my own training, midlife career change as a doctor of oriental medicine 6,000 years ago, it was well known that there are contagions that are airborne, including this contagion, which is a derivative of the common cold. The common cold is spread through the air, much the way chickenpox is with when kids share. I mean, that's not the issue. The issue is that I agree with what you're saying as far as making the virus the nano terrorist. That's the lie. But you can absolutely catch a cold. Look at anyone in a school room or an office. One person has a cold, and within a few days to a week, people whose immune system is not robust, half the classroom or half the office has that cold. So it is absolutely an airborne contagion. And but that's not the point. The point is, if you have a healthy immune system, you may be exposed to it. It'll never manifest within your immune system. And so, but this harkens back to the whole lie of germ theory, which is Pasteur versus Beauchamp. And in the case where Pasteur claimed what the corporate big pharma and mainstream medical academia claim is germ theory, and even on his deathbed, Pasteur admitted he was wrong, and Beauchamp is right. And Beauchamp stated that there's something called host theory, which is that it's not actually the virus that gives you the disease. Rather, it's the patient's inclination because of a weak immune system to have something Beauchamp called a microenzyme that begins to affect the body, and again, because of a weak immune function. So if we were to embrace Beauchamp's theory, and we all, much as it is Dr. Judy Mikovits' theory and how she saved Magic Johnson when she wrote her PhD, and she stated that, look, you can't use deadly cancer-battling chemicals like AZT to fight AIDS. You need to bolster the patient's immune function with a constant cocktail of immune support nutrients and antivirals. And Magic Johnson took her advice, and he's alive today. And that same advice would keep everyone healthy. And it's, again, final statement, it's ridiculous. This is a derivation, a gain of function, lab created common cold with some bells and whistles, such as people mysteriously losing their sense of taste and smell. But the point is anyone 65 and younger, you 99.997% of surviving it. The real attack, the real virus, is the fear virus in the mind, don't you think?
Right. Yeah. Well, thank you for that. That's very interesting. As regards what your image of people in a classroom catching a cold, I mean, if you cough within your sputum or whatever you're likely to cough out, as you say, there can be viruses, some cold virus in that, which other people can, in that sense, it's transmissible. But surely that's fairly close. Proximity, isn't it? If you get what someone else has coughed out.
Well, it's a contained environment, an office or a classroom. It circulates right there, and that's you can get it. Remember, the biggest organ in the human body is the skin. You can touch something and absorb it that way. The point is the more important point is the monstrous, incorrect way to treat all this. There is no virus in the sense of it's causing the disease. It's again a reaction within a flawed immune system, and so you boost the immune system, and that's where all these big pharma hacks are wrong, and all these academians are wrong, and they just but there are definitely contagions, I guess, is the key point, and it's how your body deals with contagion.
But Giuseppe, you would agree that there's no empirical evidence that this coronavirus is actually causing an increase in death in any age group, correct? I mean, we get the insurance.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah.
We get this Johns Hopkins study. We have all these converging. Even my first study, Ole Domegaard, suggested I take a look at the European mortality tables when it was supposed to be sweeping across Europe. And there were no changes in mortality in any of the European nations. I mean, it was stunning from the beginning. This has been true. So as Nick's emphasizing, it's how this is mind fear. This is mind porn. This is all manipulating our beliefs, which bear scant resemblance to reality. And therefore, we're doing ourselves great harm because we don't realize that our beliefs about this virus are manufactured and false.
Right. I'd like to interject that the CDC's own number, 2020 deaths, all deaths, was about 500,000 less than 2018 when there was a nasty SARS outbreak. So that this is all a lie. This is all a mind rape. And tragically turning all these weak-minded trusters of the nanny state to take this injection, and they're literally being lab rats in a crimes against humanity experiment. This should not stand.
Scorpio, you want to squeeze in another question before we hit the break?
Well, I'll ask the question after the top of the hour, but you know, I am a little dubious about, you know, some of these things. Frankly, you know, AIDS, I'm not even convinced that AIDS existed beyond a lot of bad lifestyle choices made by homosexuals. You know, what's interesting too is one of the similarities between so-called AIDS and so-called COVID is that you have this emergence of the person that has no asymptomatic carriers, yet they can spread the disease even though they have no symptoms. And I'm not aware of anyone that died of AIDS that wasn't taking AZT. So I think there's a lot of mysteries around so-called AIDS. And a lot of similarities between AIDS and COVID. It seemed like it was almost a test run, only this time spread the fear into the entire population.
Yeah, go ahead, Nick. Generally speaking, AIDS.
Well, just saying that AIDS was, you're alleged to acquire a deficient immunodeficiency amongst, there's about 20 different illnesses. And if you got any of those, okay, you could be said to have AIDS. And that sense is very similar to coronavirus, where
Nick,
you could die of all sorts of things. You could die just about anything, as Nick, long as you had a test, a positive test, on your death certificate within sort of 30 days.
Nick,
Nick, hold that thought. We're hitting the break. We'll be back with Nick Kohlerstrom from the UK right after. Stand by for the event.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Jim Fetzer, your host on the event, where we have Giuseppe Vaffangulo and David Scorpio here. Chris Weinert cannot join us today. Nick is still on his break, but Giuseppe, would you like to make some observations about his contributions? This is one of the figures I most admire in the world today.
Oh, absolutely. I think that Dr. Nick Kallestrom is a fantastic champion of intellectual freedom and personal freedoms, and he is not backing down whatsoever, which is we all need to be more like Nicholas Kallestrom. In fact, Scorpio has it right. I've already begun a cloning program.
Nick, we've been extolling your virtues as you fetched a cup of teas. We're so delighted to have you here today. I can't begin to tell you. Scorpio, did you want to pick up, or was Nick going to complete? You said you had a question after the break, Scorpio. Now is the time.
I think Nick, Scorpio stepped away himself, so I guess when he comes back.
Nick's ready. Go, Nick.
I feel that you don't need Big Pharma to stay healthy. That's the important thing.
Amen.
Different views about it, and we shouldn't seek to impose any uniformity of belief of how you stay healthy. I mean, personally, I've always taken the view, don't take the doctor's pills. If you want to stay in bed for a bit, well, stay in bed for a bit and wait till you get better. That's always the some straightforward approach I've had to being healthy. If you go in the hospital, it's quite a dangerous place to be. I would feel we don't need vaccines. Your system doesn't need vaccines. there's and detach, try to detach if you can from the system that's telling you that all that you need all these things.
Not only do you not need them, but you're better off without them. It would appear.
Scorpio's back.
Yeah, go ahead, Scorpio.
Well, yeah, I think this concept of medical tyranny versus medical freedom is really a crucial one right now, because you know, if they're always telling us with the issue of abortion, my body, my choice. Well, shouldn't we have the right to take whatever medical treatment we want or don't want? And that includes herbs or anything else. There's so many different options available for healing that we're all being corralled into this, you know, unipolar belief system where the only thing that works is the traditional Rockefeller medicine. And I think one thing that should come out of this whole COVID hoax is medical, not medical tyranny.
Go ahead, Dick. Yeah.
In Europe, the legislation is that medicines have to be tested on animals. You need to have a whole lot of animals and, you know, kill off a load of them. So it's a very expensive and unpleasant animal experiment that terrorizes a load of animals. And the naturopathic or alternative medicines can't afford this. They can't afford it or they don't believe it. So that is what is called science, right? They call that a scientific validation of the medicine, and that effectively tends to rule out anyone who's not going along with the mainstream.
In this case, Nick, of course, they claim they skipped the animal studies. My belief is they conducted them, but the animals died, and the results were so devastating they couldn't allow them to become public. So now the animals who are the subject of the experiment are we ourselves.
Right, yeah. It's so weird, isn't it? You thought just fertility experiments would have been done. Do the animals remain fertile after these vaccines?
That's good.
It's hard to believe that we don't have any experimental data on whether these jabs affect fertility, which is perilously low. It's going down and down. Fertility in Europe, I guess in America too.
As I was observing, the migrant reproduction rate is much higher than the white, which is not even at the level of replacement. And now with the introduction of the vaccine, it's going to be below replacement, so that demographics are going to rapidly change both on the continent and here in the United States. Scorpio, further thoughts?
Well, you know, isn't it interesting too, you know, this idea of low fertility and stuff, how we're constantly being told, well, you know, there's not enough people to fulfill the future pensions and stuff. So we need to bring in more immigrants. And it's like this vicious cycle they're using to essentially replace the populations all over Europe and in America and Canada as well. But if you point the obvious fact out that there's an actual plan to switch out the population somehow, you know, you're a bad person and a racist or whatever term they want to use, yet the evidence of such a plan is absolutely overwhelming. And the other thing I would point out is that, you know, they're really pushing this notion of vaccine inequity, whereas the, you know, the poor countries aren't getting enough vaccines. And as Nick pointed out earlier in the show, America, Israel, and Europe have the highest vaccination rates, but there's countries all over the world where hardly anyone has been vaccinated. And I just wonder if this isn't going to be used as the part of the plan to really wipe out the white population through disease and infertility.
Right. So, yeah. I think the white race will survive in Russia. Slavic, not quite the same, but they're white, you know. I think they will survive there. But I think Europe is going to turn brown this century. Maybe America too, yeah.
And the cultural revolution is going to be even more stunning than the genetic, because it's going to be vast in scope, transforming virtually every aspect of life. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Well, I'd like to get Nick's thoughts on what I've identified as a severe delineation between real science that follows the scientific method and allows the data to lead the experimenter in the direction that the data leads versus corporate big pharma science, which starts with an end goal that I want this vaccination or I want this magic pill to make it to market, and then creates a process of fabricated data, cherry-picked test results, suppressed data when it doesn't serve the interests of the end goal, and false tests as far as not really using a double-blind placebo with something like saline solution, all towards the end goal, which is to get that vaccine to market or that magic pill to market. Your thoughts on the difference between real science and corporate big pharma science?
Yeah. Well, real science happens where the results are not determined by who is funding the scientist, okay? It's a concept of independence, that the science is able to work in a lab and get results, and we can believe those results if they're not controlled by whoever funds them. So this is a challenge for any nation or state to allow this to happen, to allow investigation, and especially on public safety. That's where it's most important. What are the safety thresholds? How can the public be kept safe? That kind of science investigation has to happen to be funded by the state, such that that they are not funded by big pharma or big business. And that is the incredibly difficult process. I wonder if kind of traditional science has somewhat died out in our time, that most of what is called science now is just PR and hype.
They're talking more about applied science and technology, of course, medical science and technology, and it bears scant resemblance. Because the profit motive driving big pharma is so massive, and they're corrupting so many of the organizations that actually were originally perhaps thought to be objective safeguards for public health, but have become marketing outlets, you know, public relations and promotion for big pharma, the CDC.
And you sign non-disclosure, the scientists in the lab signs non-disclosure agreements, contracts. So, they can't just easily report whatever they've done. I think that the public were getting bamboozled by what is allegedly science. And I think the public are losing trust in them. It's been misused a lot in this coronavirus story. And the kind of rudimentary data we'd like, for example, people who test positive on this COVID test, PCR test, are they more likely to get ill? You've got about something like 7% of the population, very, very roughly, test positive on this PCR test.
Nick, we had a revelation from a nurse who showed there were two types of swabs that were pre-designated negative and positive. You know, so to do the test for coronas, you already knew what was going to be the outcome because the swab was predetermined to give you a negative or a positive. I mean, how bad is that? And we have a photograph, we have an image of the two swabs, one saying negative, one saying positive. It's unbelievable. Or should I say it's very believable given the dimensions of the scam.
Yes, well, that is hard to believe, isn't it? And the whole thing depends on how many replications you do. So,
this is the nasal swab. Yeah, right.
Nasal swab, yeah. And Carrie Mullis specifically said that it can't be used in this way for detecting.
Yes, and of course.
He was an example of a real scientist, somebody who really understood matters, and he was independent. He would say he was keen on what was and what could be found out and what was true. And perhaps that's why he had to suddenly die off just before that big meeting of 2019, Operation Crimson Contagion, you know. That was a big planning for the whole pandemic, and he died. His death was reported just the day before that. So we have the public public not really able to believe in science in the same way. We just get sort of bamboozled by it on the news, and for example, we're told, oh, there's a new strain. Well, how do I know there's a new strain? We never get what sounds like decent, honest science, do we?
Well, they've never even isolated the alleged COVID SARS-2 vaccine, you know, virus. So if they haven't isolated the virus, they can't possibly have a vaccine as an antidote to the virus, which means, of course, we're being scammed from the beginning to the end, where the vaccines may treat some of the symptoms, but as we've been discussing, actually introduce very harmful elements with mRNA into your body, change your DNA, produce excess proteins that include prions, induce infertility, sterility. I mean, it seems to me all of the consequences of these vaccines are bad. Scorpio, Giuseppe, would you have a few more questions for Nick before we open the line to callers? I'm sure there will be many.
Yeah, Scorpio. A few comments. You know, it's funny how they're already talking about, you know, mutant strains, and but the vaccines still work. And now there's the super scary double mutant strain that we're supposed to bring. But they're confident that the vaccines work. It's amazing how as soon as a new so-called strain comes out, right away they know that the vaccine works. And of course, that's not science. It's absolutely absurd. And on the bigger picture, isn't it interesting how, when you really think about it, this COVID agenda and the so-called climate change agenda really dovetail into one single agenda, don't they? Because, you know, after all, global problems need global solutions. And they're going to use both of these emergencies to get their grand plan shoved down the public's throat one way or another. And it's all based on phony science.
Yeah, all based on phony science for sure. Nick, did you want to...
Certainly, just that the lockdowns all around the world have greatly reduced the impacts on Mother Nature, as it were. The seas and the rivers and the skies are sort of clearer now, and it may be that that's been very beneficial ecologically. But that's when they're looking at it. Maybe some critical overload on the ecosystems of Mother Earth have been averted. I mean, there's a possible angle there. I mean, I think climate change is the most meaningless slogan I've ever heard. Is the climate warming or cooling? It's debatable.
But Biden has a $2.9 trillion proposal allegedly for infrastructure, but actually to implement the Green New Deal. Transform the way Americans live, promote electric cars and all that, get rid of what they call fossil fuels, for which we know there's actually an endless supply because it's a naturally occurring phenomenon. Giuseppe, your thoughts.
I'd like to ask Nick what he thinks of the following statement that the vaccine was in existence long ago, and the gain of function coronavirus was created to drive the fearful herd of Goyim cattle to accept the vaccine. And part B is that this is just a strategy of fear and a psychological operation to deliver the real prize, which is the great reset to change the economies of sovereign nation into a true global economy. Your thoughts on A and B?
Well, those are very general questions. I don't know why you believe that the vaccines were pre-existent.
No, well, he means they already had patents on them, Nick, because this was being planned so far in advance. I think Fauci even holds some patents on some of these that are being used now that were approved, submitted and approved even years before the coronavirus outbreak.
These vaccines have existed since the turn of the century trying to combat the common cold coronavirus. Nick.
Go ahead, Giuseppe. Nick was coming. Go ahead, repeat that.
Well, I was just going to say that these vaccines against the common cold have been around for two decades. They have tried, and they've always never gotten beyond the animal studies. So this is nothing new. It's an elaborate scam to have this race to create this this vaccine. It's been around for two decades.
You know, I wish that Donald were more medically and scientifically sophisticated, because I do believe he was played, and I've been very troubled, you know, in retrospect, his locking down the economy, which was, of course, not in his self-interest, and therefore I believe was actually an act of altruism, but where he ought to have known better. I think he was really, truly played, and it's unfortunate because the consequences have been so devastating. Giuseppe Scarpio, both your thoughts.
Well, I would just add that, you know, regarding the climate change hoax, you know, and this $2.9 trillion new Green Deal so-called infrastructure package, you know, GM, the car maker, has already agreed to quit producing gas-powered cars completely by 2035. And so the plan is going to be, if you can't afford the $60,000 or $80,000 or $100,000 it costs to buy an electric car, you're not going to be driving. And you know, that's I thought it was quite stunning that the GM's already agreed not to make cars, gas powered cars, by 2035. It's not been talked about much in the media or anywhere else.
That's bizarre, Scorpio. I had no idea. That's outrageous. Nick, your thoughts.
Well, the new electric cars, that they need a lot of rare metals and rare elements to power them, and that's sort of very expensive and environmentally disruptive, as well as where the electricity comes from. I guess electricity is going to be coming from nuclear power, so it's somewhat equivocal argument.
In other words, it's really a ridiculous plan, because you know, you have to have electricity to make the whole thing work, and the electricity isn't boundless. Maybe James McCanny can address the access to electricity somehow, as it were, from our environment. But it looks as though this is another horrendous scam, and it's going to have enormous economic and other consequences. Scorpio, I infer that's part of what you're driving at.
Oh, absolutely. It's part of this plan to completely change the very nature of society and your ability to even move around freely. And of course, this dovetails into the vaccine passport thing as well. And, you know, it's absurd too. Nick made a great point. It's absurd that these electric cars are somehow magical. You know, you're going to have to either plug your car into a coal-powered power plant or a nuclear power plant. And of course, nuclear power is a great deal more dangerous than any other type of power in existence. And the other thing that's never talked about electric cars is that the disposing of the batteries is next to impossible, and it's an absolute environmental nightmare to deal with the lithium and the other byproducts that are left over from these batteries that only last about 5 years.
Those are great points, Scorpion. Of course, that's a reason why Biden is delaying our withdrawal from Afghanistan. We've been there to loot the country of its mineral resources as well as grow the poppies. Many an army officer has come back and discussed that his role there was to protect the poppy fields so the CIA could engage in its international drug operation, which is unbelievably lucrative, but where Afghanistan also has perhaps the second largest lithium deposit in the world, second only to Bolivia. Nick.
Wow, that's amazing. I never heard that, Jim. That's amazing. And that is the world's longest lasting war, Second War.
Yes.
And it's never explained what America is doing there. We never hear these two points you made. They're still taking opium out of the...
Yeah, it's outrageous, Nick. Outrageous.
Wow. And I'll just add one thing. You know, the biggest deposit of lithium and the most accessible deposit in the world is in Bolivia. So keep your eyes on Bolivia for various political problems to occur down there.
100% correct. Yes, absolutely. Giuseppe, would you like to raise some more questions before we open the lines?
Sure. I would just like to add that that's the whole reason behind the U.S.'s push into with AFRICOM is there's a lot of those valued minerals for producing microchips and computer parts and screens in those countries as well. So instead of negotiating fairly, they want to use the U.S. military might on behalf of the corporate elites. And finally, I would also point out that the Green New Steel is a vital component, the deception of the Green New Steel, to drive the human herd towards Agenda 2030 and allowing these elites to cluster the population in these mega cities and free up the nature and ownership for this 1% who will then have massive natural holdings that are inaccessible to the average citizen.
Well, that's quite a gloomy prospect,
yeah. Let me just announce for our audience that we're again skipping our break at the bottom of the hour when we have a guest of the caliber of our guest today. And we're opening the phone lines if you'd like to call in. Mitchell will field your call. The number 540-352-4452. Again, 540-352-4452. And of course, there are all four of us here, Giuseppe, Scorpio, Nick, and me. So you can raise questions about any of the issues we've been addressing or even others if you like. Again, the number 540-352-4452. Giuseppe, further thoughts?
I wonder what Nick views is coming for the UK in the next year, because I've been shocked at the totalitarian draconian measures to lock down England, and I never thought that would ever be tolerated by the populace. And I know there are protests and everything, but why is the government not in service to its citizens in this capacity?
I mean, certainly nobody. It's hard to believe what's happened so quickly, so suddenly. We don't have any political party objecting to it, really. Everyone's just in consensus. Everyone believes this dogma. And the stories of coming out of lockdown now, the main thing British people are concerned about is pubs reopening. Can we get back into pubs again? Pubs and gyms, cafes, will they reopen? They've said next month they'll open. They've started opening now. And I would think it'd be very difficult for them to go back again and say it's another lockdown. Who knows? But I would tend to think once it's open up again, that the Tories, the Tories can't go back on their word and shut it all down again. I'm very surprised if they can do that.
We do have a first caller on the line from the 818 area code. Caller, please give us your first name and state and join the conversation. Callie.
Hey, Jim. This is November. I'm in California, Commifornia. Just looking at all of this from an external point of view and just putting all the pieces together, it definitely is looking like they are trying to turn everybody into robots. It's transhumanism. I mean, with all this technology, even with the PCR bogus test, those things go hand in hand with the vaccines because they're trying to alter humans' DNA. Looking at research in the past from like Atlantis, you know, back in those days, that's what killed off the population was technology. And these evil scientists, they're out of control. And I mean, I don't know if you guys remember a show from the 80s, V, that stood for visitors. All these people were in human suits, but then they took off their suits and they were like reptilians underneath. So all of this whole agenda to me is not human. I mean, these are so evil beyond comprehension that they're trying to turn everybody into a species of robot.
With women more involved. What? Sorry.
Go ahead, finish your thought. Go ahead, finish your thought. Nick was just eager to respond. Go ahead.
I'm trying to get this all out because it's just so much stuff in my mind. It's just overwhelming. Just the fact that all these people are going along with getting the vaccine is ludicrous. I mean, I am amongst a sea of zombies. These people have been altered to even not even question what's inside these ingredients. First of all, how are they running to get the freaking vaccine? And they don't even know what the hell is in there. It's driving me insane. But it's definitely a psychological war combined with transhumanism. And my thing is, where I'm at in my life is, what are the solutions? I mean, what the hell can we do about all this?
Nick.
Yeah. Well, we need a political movement in which women are more involved, precisely to try to counteract what you put your finger on, that science is out of control. We want science to be focused on human benefit and human welfare, okay? And not just mad scientists creating zombies or whatever it is they're doing. We don't quite know what they are doing. But I think we need some sort of call for a humane science. And Jim interviewed this lady, Judy Mikiewicz, whose book is about reclaiming the promise of science and trying to get back hope and trust into whatever it is that scientists are up to. So I think we need some kind of ethics in science in a different way than is it actually trying to benefit us? You raised other more metaphysical issues that I doubt if we can comment on, about people being reptilians or whatever.
Well, that's the only thing that makes sense to me.
Otherwise, how come the politicians are so evil, you know?
But Judy's a personal friend of Giuseppe, who arranged the wonderful interview we had with her last week on this very show with Scorpio and Chris and Giuseppe and me, where she's simply sensational. I'll just comment on the robotic human business. You know, it's impossible to turn inanimate things, digital machines, into thinking things, you know, quasi-human beings. But it's not impossible, and appears to be the route they're taking, to turn human beings into something more like robotic things. And it appears this vaccine is intended to move in precisely that direction. Scorpio or Giuseppe, would you like to add further to the caller's questions?
It just makes me think of Philip K. Dick's work, where there came a point where you couldn't tell between a synthetic robot and a true human being. And, you know, the World Economic Forum is even bragging that in the future, you will not be able to tell the difference between the synthetic and the organic, between the between a machine and the living. So they're trying to take us into some kind of bizarre science fiction dystopia here. No question about it. I think the caller's on to something important.
Giuseppe.
Yeah, that's what,
go ahead, Nick. Go ahead, Nick.
That's what's called the singularity, which is expected in 10 or 20 years' time, when the computers develop sufficiently that they're kind of equivalent intelligence to humans. Obviously, it'll be different, but that will be a kind of very frightening, and she would say, a challenging moment. And it starkly posed the question, what does it mean to be human?
I address this issue in a lot of my work, and I don't believe you can turn a digital machine into a thinking thing, but that we can address that further. I do believe you can turn human beings into something more like a robot, however. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
I think Scorpio wanted to add something. Go ahead, Scorpio.
Yeah.
Very briefly, I just want to add that, you know, you bring up singularity and transhumanism. Ray Kurzweil and all his transhumanist buddies, they're all Jewish guys. And this whole thinking is sort of a Jewish concoction at the very top. That's just a fact I just wanted to point out.
We have another caller on the line, Sal from Colorado. Join the conversation, Sal.
Jim, I wanted to ask though, because you guys are all so intelligent. I mean, I'm big fans of all of you. I listen as often as I can. I just want to know what you think are some solutions. I mean, we all know this stuff, and we know about the masks, how they're poison, how they're tainted, the PCR tests, the vaccine. We all know where this is going. So what in God's name do we do? I mean, Jim, your mind is so intelligent. All of you, Scorpio, Giuseppe, I just want to know from each of you what you think we can do, like solutions.
I think there has to be a massive public outrage. You have to put pressure on your political leaders. You have to share with them all the evidence that masks are damaging, that most of the deaths from the Spanish flu weren't from the flu, but from bacterial pneumonia. That bacterial pneumonia is promoted by the wearing of face masks, that we've been barraged with pseudoscience claptrap, that it's a lot of political bullshit. I inform everyone in a position of influencing public health policy to the max you can, but I tell you, it's an uphill struggle. Many of us have hoping for a restoration of a Trump administration who had set things right, and I'm sorry to say we haven't seen a lot of signs that's going to take place. It would make a huge difference. But I think the people are getting very sick of Biden and Harris and a phony administration. It's an international embarrassment to have these figures as the leaders of the United States. And we got to overcome the bullshit. Giuseppe.
Right.
I think
Trump was pushing the vaccine, though. That's my biggest problem with him.
I mentioned that as a concern of mine earlier. Giuseppe, go ahead.
Well, Trump initially wanted to have Robert Kennedy Jr. Lead a bilateral commission about investigating vaccines, and he was intent on doing a lot of really positive things. Then he was inaugurated, and he was supposed to have a 15-minute talk with Barack Hussein Obama, the traitor, and it turned out to be nearly 2 hours. And when Trump emerged, he was pale. He looked nervous. He kept flashing Illuminati signs. Essentially, Trump got the talk. And ever since then, he could no longer implement his ideas of freedom and serving the American public. And as such, there is no political solution. There is no voting solution. Mm-hmm. That what is needed, we need, these transnational corporations are essentially ruled by a 6,000-year-old death blood cult, the Talmudic Satanists, and they are not going to go away. We need a warrior class to remove them, to hunt them and remove them from this planet. I think once you eliminate that level of control, the corporations can be put into check, and governments can be staffed by people who are loyal to the citizens of their individual countries. That's the macro solution. On the micro solution, you have to disengage from this toxic, sick, satanic society and live in a breakaway fashion. Do not go see a Western doctor. The only time you need an allopathic doctor is emergency room care, acute trauma care. For everything else, eat right, get enough exercise, get enough minerals, because corporate farming doesn't allow for minerals in the diet anymore. There's simple things every person can do. Get off every prescription. A lot of prescriptions you need to step down, especially like all the psychotropics for the quackery that is psychiatry. And so you need to break away. You need to have your own, clean water, get a Berkey gravity filter so you're not ingesting fluoride or any of these toxic chemicals in the water. You have to literally live your own independent life and find like-minded people. And that way, once a week, one of you can educate your children, get your children out of school, do not vaccinate anything. And those are the two strategies. We need a warrior class that serves the people. That's the main thing.
Wonderful words of wisdom.
I'm sure we can all agree with what you just said. Yeah.
Strong endorsement from Nick. We do have two other callers on the line. You're welcome to stay on the hook from California. Sal from Colorado, then Scott from San Diego. Sal, you're up next. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Jim, I'm not sure if you know that in the omnibus, the last one that Trump signed, there's $3.6 billion for the Gabby Foundation.
Go ahead.
Well, it's hard to add more to that. I'm just saying that if he knows that these things are bad and dangerous, and perhaps his own son even is mildly autistic because of the MMR vaccine, yes. Why yes. would he do this to us?
Well, that's a good question. Scorpio, you want to address it?
Well, I think bottom line, I think Trump was compromised from his dealings in New York City. The debt he was incurred, he was bailed out by Rothschilds and the internationalist bankers. And unfortunately, I'm not picking on Trump, but what I see is that we're not going to get any help from any of the major institutions. It's not going to happen. They're all co-opted and taken over right now by this cult that Giuseppe spoke of earlier. So we need to quit. First of all, we need to lose faith in all of these institutions. They're not going to help us. We're going to have to start building our own systems and creating our own networks of people. And that begins with us interacting with people of like mind and trying to build things together. It's going to be a difficult struggle, and we're going to have to take baby steps, but we're going to have to indeed start to build our own civilization outside of this science fiction nightmare that they have planned for humanity.
I think this is one of the reasons they're so massively censoring, taking down YouTube, Twitter accounts of like-minded people, corresponding, coordinating their efforts, sharing their ideas. They don't want that to happen. So I think you're right about the solution, but they're throwing up massive obstacles to moving in that direction. Nick, yes.
Yeah. Well, just this moment of a madness that seems to have seized the American rulers, governors. It's practically trying to initiate World War III in three different places. With China, it's baiting and angering China with following its ships around the China Sea. With Russia, it's sending lethal equipment to Ukraine and sending nuclear bombers patrol the area, in every way challenging Russia over Ukraine. And so is Britain, by the way, as if it wants to war with Russia. And then last but not least, with Iran, and Israel, American Israel, are baiting Iran and provoking it more and more. So in every way, this Biden administration seems to be looking for a fight, not for any discernible reason, but just because it just thinks it's a good posture, or can't think what else to do, or maybe it's just totally out of control.
I think if you look at American foreign policy as being run out of Tel Aviv, if you look at this as not Joe Biden's policy, but Bibi Netanyahu's, it all makes a lot of sense. Because Bibi wants to destroy America, he wants to precipitate a war, he wants to annihilate Iran, and he's willing to resort to any technique that might promote those objectives. I think that makes the most sense. We have Scott from San Diego standing by. Scott, go ahead, join the conversation. Scott. Mitch, did we lose Scott? I know we have a caller from the UK who's seeking to reach us by way of Skype. Can we bring him in, Mitchell? Any luck?
It looks like we lost Scott from San Diego. And if they just call me at Mitchell.bup, or, you know, my number is my Skype number. So it's all Skype connected. So,
or Mitchell, I can patch him in through Skype if you want.
Sure.
Do it.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Giuseppe, you want to add a few more words while we're bringing in the caller from the UK?
Yeah, I would just like to observe that what's really going on is the elites, the globalists, desperately need a war because the vaccine, the human immune system is pretty robust. And even though they're going to kill quite a few people, it's not going to be enough. They need a war because of the massive amount of wealth transfer and gambling that has occurred. And I believe right now the options and derivatives market is somewhere about $1.7 quadrillion. That's a trillion with three zeros that can never possibly be repaid. That's all gone into the coffers of the kosher casino operators. And so they need desperately a war to claim that, oh, the war is destroying the global economy. And so I think that is a big factor, what's driving Biden to do this.
We have two more callers standing by, one from the UK. If Scorpio's been successful, please join us. Just give us your first name. And, of course, you're from the United Kingdom. Join the conversation.
Hello. Can you hear me clearly, guys?
Yes. Yes. Go ahead.
Hi there, Jim. Hi there, Nick. Hi there, Scorpio, usual crew. It's good to hear you after a while, I have to say. Calling from Glastonbury, the UK. At the moment, I want to sort of comment on what we can do as a network and raising a network in a possible parallel state, and sort of just some of the domestic things going on in the UK. So if it's cool to just proceed, guys, on that.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, so like in the UK at the moment, what I've seen is there is resistance in the UK to the mask wearing. So there was a riot in Bristol about a week and a half ago, and I turned up to Bristol the day after. So it seems in certain metropolitan areas, there is a growing resistance mainly to the mask wearing. My concern is Boris is trying to push out with Boris's bitches, trying to push out the COVID passport for everything, which is really a digital identity via the back door, probably a biological ID. And he wants to rush that through by July. I think that this will mean that obviously if you want to go to any public event or to leave the country, you will need your papers and to be vaccinated. Now, obviously, we shouldn't be taking the recombinant gene therapy vaccine, because I believe that creates decrepitude, it creates miscarriages, anything that affects the white birth rate, I'm sure that vaccine has to do with. And also, I believe the swab tests, people shouldn't get those, because I believe they probably got nanomaterials on the swab tests, and they do push those more and more. But there is resistance in the UK from the middle class and upper middle class. So, for example, I've been starting to hear reports on Goyim TV that there is police now starting not to be happy with going on, again, to do with the mask wearing. And they're starting to encounter health problems for wearing that mask all day long on the overtime. And they're starting to rebel against that. There's also other ministers and other senior professionals, like the doctors in Canada at the moment, who are rebelling, who are saying that the PCR tests and the use of cases within stats data on the media is deflecting from the way that the death curve is absolutely flat, if not gone down this year.
Yeah.
So it's a pure lie. People are starting to see through it. But as I've said before, it's only when there's no money in their wallet, no food in their belly, only then will they realize it's too late. So we're starting to see the middle class and upper class wake up only because they're losing all their money. Their businesses are going down. The house price bubble is about to go pop. And this year will be a key make or break year as we enter secular inflation with the dollar. So after this next year, when this fuss dies down, they're really going to start ramping on the pressure with very, very high taxes here in the UK. You won't be able to leave the UK because it's arbitrary. The reasons why the police will accept why you're leaving the UK, i.e. white flight. And if they're not happy with that, they will issue you with a £5,000 fine. So we're being penned in, we're being caged. They'll be raising the temperature in that cage like cats on a hot tin roof. And what we need to do, as you quite rightly point out, we lack might. Now, I am kind of known for being hard line on the bankers. So you're dealing with Satanists who know they're going to hell. You're looking at the biggest mass murder in history and the greatest redistribution of wealth that has ever occurred with humanity's history. So these people are playing for keeps, and that's why you must understand that murderers are going to murder. Rapists are going to rape. And
I think you're spot on. I believe all of us agree with you about all that you've been saying here. I think you're exactly right. Nick, did you want to respond to our caller?
I didn't quite catch your name, old chap.
Oh, it's Steve. Steve from the UK. I've been around since 9/11 TIU since 2006 and 2007.
It's good, Steve.
Sorry, Nick.
I admired the talk that Piers Corbyn gave in Glastonbury on, I think, maybe his first talk, urging people, you know, to stay out and resist the lockdown. I don't know if you remember
I was there. It was Piers Corbyn. And then, by the way, did you know what the first question Piers Corbyn asked me was when he actually spoke to me? He said, "Are you Jewish?"
Really?
I had a megaphone there and I was giving my spiel representing my clan. I did speak to him, but he was kind of trying to gain political capital. He wasn't a local, so I've got quite a large base in Glastonbury, so he was kind of trying to bandwagon on top of that a political end. So you can imagine the conversations that went on within the Corbyn family, but he was trying to build on like the hippie new age element in there, because Glastonbury is not really a new age town per se, it's a conspiracy town. So I've banged on about 18 years since I've been here about Rothschild and the Jews, to much unpopularity.
I've heard of you in Glastonbury. Is there something I can link with you?
I can pass my details on after the call if you wish, no problem.
Go ahead.
So, Steve, if I can talk about solutions, is that possible if I can just move us on to solutions?
It's a 5G, didn't it? I think it managed to stop implementing of 5G.
That's right.
5G aerials. That and there's one or two others that have also said no. And a lot of people feel that the symptoms of COVID were brought on to do with 5G. Do you have anything you'd like to say about that?
Yes, they don't want any warriors or workers. So by making people sick, by killing off the people they owe money to, i.e. the elderly and the middle-aged boomer class with life savings that are going to be popping this year, I kind of think they want us to be sick to weaken us for invasion. So all the people, the foreign bondholders, who we owe £3 trillion and the rest, those people will be coming here looking to collect, because £3 trillion is some serious, serious wonga, and they'll be wanting hard assets for that. So the soft approach is to try and bring over the immigrants, put a weapon in their hand, and then all of a sudden the Bolshevik conditions, they're running into the countryside, destroying rural culture, the last vestiges of ethnic culture on this island, and they'll be repossessing hard assets for those foreign bondholders. So the answer to your question, I believe, is they're prepping us for invasion by eliminating and making sick the workers of value, of surplus value, and the warriors who are here to defend said people and the women and children.
Yeah, Nick was asking whether you think 5G is inducing the symptoms that are being ascribed to COVID. And I think most of us believe that is indeed the case, and that opposing 5G is a very appropriate thing to do. Meanwhile,
I've got my own angle. I think that the 5G probably affects the nanomaterials, and it probably exacerbates the flu condition. But I just think it's a rebranded flu engineered to be more infectious, yeah? And they've brought out on the bandwagon of that the recombinant gene therapy, which is not a vaccine. It is a gene therapy to accelerate decrepitude and to produce infertility. So I kind of have my own position on that, but I'm not really a scientist, Jim, so it's hard for me to go out there with some hard data to present to you as an actual fact. But it seems to me that the 5G would be more inclined to act on the nanomaterials, either Morgellon fibers or these little... they look like spiders that sort of curl up into a ball on these swabs. And so these are probably nanotech machines that are programmed with heat to respond with a set action. And if you've got 5G and microwaves, if you put your phone to your ear, you'll notice that your ear feels hot. So that's my own personal theory on it, but I've got an open mind, Jim.
Well, it was a great, great call. Scaredy, I'm so apologetic. We're running out of time. I would love to have brought you in. Under the circumstances, I need to go to Giuseppe and Scorpio for their final thoughts. Giuseppe.
Well, what a wonderful show. Hopefully we can bring back the great Dr. Nicholas Kahlstrom soon to discuss the events, and we all have to fight this. It's literally, as Robert Kennedy Jr. said, this is the apocalypse, and we need to fight to the end.
Scorpio, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought Steve brought up two very important points. One is making people sick, weakening society to prepare the society for invasion. I believe that's what's happening all over the West and in America, absolutely. And of course, it always comes down to hard assets, taking the hard assets after printing up funny money and then using that to take hard assets. I think that's exactly right.
Well, invasion precisely by whom? The Chinese?
Well, it could be. I think what it's going to come down to is just the invasion of a new system so that people can't fight this new system. And it is going to be based on the Chinese system. And it could be accompanied by some kind of military action as well. They are beating the war drums, after all.
Can I comment on that, please?
Go ahead, Steve, real concisely.
I want to point people towards a piece of research which is defeating the Chinese and has been banned by the Chinese. chat.fullstack.cash. A guy called Chris Troutner, I've been liaising with and been pushing the free speech scene towards and has offered his help, is running the Permissionless Software Foundation. And he's been liaising with Chinese dissidents who have been able to exchange value without being stopped. He has an unstoppable IPFS REST API, so the computers are able to talk to each other web browser to web browser without any intermediary. They can't be blocked by the great firewall of China. So I really do push Chris Troutner.
Steve, this has been fascinating. We're up against the clock. Nick, I can't thank you enough for coming on. This has been absolutely sensational. Giuseppe, absolutely. Please.
Just very briefly, just urge people, with all this bad news, don't sink into despair. We are the riders of the storm, the storms of the apocalypse. And just stay together with the people you're on the same wavelength with, and take it day to day. And we're here for a reason. And just do whatever it is that you can do, you know.
Well, on behalf of the Wisdom Circle and the Raw Deal, I want to thank Nick Kahlstrom for being here and all of you for listening. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I've pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.